Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to Mark 11, 22. And you know the story. Jesus, the day before, cursed the fig tree, and his disciples heard it. And the next day, they're reminding them of it. And he had some very important things to say. Verse 20, it says, "In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." I'm getting a little ring down here if we could attend to that. Thank you. "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Let's say that. Have faith in God. Let's say it again. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have faith in God. In verse 23, it says, "For verily, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now, when you talk about faith, you've got to connect saying with it. You have to. And there's many scriptures that support that. But just because you say it doesn't mean you'll have it. And we know that. You know, there were some times I took the cab into work, into the building here, and sometimes the cab drivers, I wouldn't say a thing in the car, I'd pray in the spirit. And sometimes it would unnerve them, because I was just quiet. And more often than not, they'd start to ask questions, and as they'd say, they'd spill the beans. And a lot of them would say, you know, "What are you about? What's this church about?" And then I remember a few of them said, "You know, there are people that I take in this cab here, and they try to press me to receive Jesus. I just tell them, yeah, sure, mm-hmm." Now, did they believe? No. And so you can say whatever you're going to say, but if you don't believe in your heart, you're not saved. And so what does it say? It says, if you believe and doubt not in your heart, and believe the things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. So it's key that whatever we do say, we don't doubt and believe that what we're releasing, we believe it to come to pass. Amen. And that is critical and key. And sometimes as we go through, we have to start in a place where we begin to confess the word, and over time, it becomes real and we believe it. So we may start in a place where we don't believe, but you start. And at some point, the truth of God's word, you will believe and you will release your words in faith. So that's important. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, "For the which cause," I'm reading from the King James, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am what?" Persuaded. That's faith right there. "And persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul didn't say, I know what I believe. He said, I know whom I have believed. Paul is not just believing in a principle, he's believing in a person. This is what Jesus said, have faith in God. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. So this is what we're saying. Paul didn't say, have faith in your faith. Now this may stun some, but he didn't even say, have faith in the Bible. Some may stop and wonder about that. Let me read something which is insightful in the scripture. You don't have to turn there. Let me read this. John 5:37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. Who are they coming to? Christ. So he said, search the scriptures, and so you're going to have to come to him just because you believe in the Bible. He says, believe, that's part of it, but it's important and critical that you believe in him. Trust in him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 for a minute. Don't unhook. Stay with me because we're going somewhere here with this. All through here, when you start at the beginning of Hebrews 11, now faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear, and so forth. But now, look at verse 6. But without faith, it is not possible, or it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to who? Cometh to God, must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that do what? Diligently seek who? Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we've got to trust in him. We've got to seek him in all that we do. And one thing about people of faith, you know, one thing I've become, I've heard this, I'm sure you have. Maybe you've done it. I've done it through the years. Not often. You ever hear anybody say, believe with me for a good report? Anybody ever hear that?
Yes.
Well, look, we've all been there. But if you're a person of faith, whether or not there's a good report or a bad report, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. So a person doesn't need to have a good report, because you've already got a good report. And sometimes what happens if you didn't get a good report? You know, how many... let me ask this question. You could be persuaded, you know, this is one thing that the devil works on. He'll work on your expectation. How many bad reports before you're not persuaded?
That's right.
Is it one? Is it two? Is it five? Is it 10? How many good reports or bad reports before you just unhook? See? And we've all been and walked through things, but we've got to trust him that he is faithful, that promised, and that we are what? Persuaded. Faith is persuaded. Faith is convinced. And we may start out convinced, but when trials come and difficulties come, it can work against you in such a way that if you don't keep a strong spirit, what does the scripture say? The strong spirit of a man will do what? Sustain him, but a weak and broken spirit, who can bear? So one key element in being sustained is having a strong spirit. And we need to keep our spirit strengthened and strong, because when it's strong, we can walk through difficult periods in our life, trusting him, looking to him, and we can walk through supported. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's turn over to Jeremiah for a second. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. You know, in conditioning or developing ourselves to look to God and trust in him, I would say this, you know, I saw my parents' example at home, trusting in the Lord. I know a little more now than they did. We should. But if you're a parent, you should wean your children off of you. Because they're going to need to learn at some point in their life to trust in him. You're not the El Shaddai. And so I'm not saying that your children shouldn't respect you and look to you, but you need to train your children to trust him and look to him for things that they may desire in their life. Because mommy and daddy may not be able to supply it, but that shouldn't limit them. And it should be something that they get to be developed and trained in, so that when they go out in life, it's an easy transition. Did you get to Jeremiah?
Yes.
Jeremiah 17. Look at verse 5. Starting in verse 5, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth who? From the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land, and not inhabited." Do you realize there are a lot of people, there are millions in this world today that are in this place? They're trusting in man. They're trusting in the government. They're trusting in something other than God. And so what happens? What does it say? It says, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. There are millions that are trusting in the government and not in the Lord. They're not trusting in him. And so I would just say, aren't you glad that you're not cursed? Read verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. I am blessed. Because what? I trusteth in him. Hallelujah. Christ hath done what? Redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made what? A curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Verse 14, that what? The blessing of Abraham should what? Might come upon the Gentiles through him, through Christ, that we might receive what? The promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. Hallelujah. So it's going to be through faith that we receive the promise. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I'm not cursed. I am blessed. Hallelujah. Why? Because I trust in the Lord. Glory to God. Why don't you say that? Say, I'm blessed because I trust in the Lord. Say that again. I am blessed because I trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're not blessed looking to man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just some familiar scripture. Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Believeth in who? Him. Glory to God. And Jesus, Mark 10:27, Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Glory to God. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things, how? Through Christ, who does what? Strengtheneth me. How am I doing it? Through Christ. Greater is he that is inside me than he that is in the world. I can overcome. I can do this because he strengthens me to do that. Glory to God. Let me read a few what I call obscure translations. This is one called the Lovett translation. I love it. It's not spelled that way, but it's, there is no situation which can overwhelm me now. There is no situation that can overwhelm me now. This is the Barclay translation. He who fills me with his dynamic power has made me able to cope with any situation. So that means there is no situation. We may not like it. It may be something that catches us by surprise, but there is no situation with his power that I am not able to cope with. That means he strengthens me to be able to walk through it. How? By his power. And how are we strengthened? By faith. That means I've got to believe and say, and not doubt in my heart. That means when I'm walking through this, we don't feel it. I don't feel too happy about this, walking through this. It's not comfortable. I don't like it. How many walk by their I don't likes? We'd quit tomorrow if we did that. Amen. We walk by faith, and we walk strengthened with might by His Spirit that gives me the inner strength and the power to cope. That's what we have. We've got the greater one living in us to help us. He's our helper. He's our strengthener. He's the one that's able to help me come through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Let me read Philippians 4:13 out of the Amplified. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Hallelujah. That means there's nothing that I face that I can't cope with. Now that's going to, you know, things come that will grip your mind. And you may want to give up. You know, you are no match. In the natural, you are no match for the devil. And you are no match for the pressures in life. But I can cope with every single one of them with His power. Amen. That infuses and strengthens my inner man. That's what the scripture says. I can do all things through Christ. Who does what? Strengthens me. Man, every one of us, we pull the covers back in the morning and we want to go, poop. I don't feel like getting up. I don't feel like putting my feet out on this floor. I feel like, you know, crying and whining and complaining. And how come? And why me? And why do I have to go through this? But He said, I can do. I can do it. I can face it. I can cope with it. I can overcome it. See, the devil wants us to lay down and quit. That's his objective. But what pleases God? It's impossible without faith to please Him. He that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder. Rewarder of what? Strength. You know, turn over for a second to Hebrews chapter 4, thinking of this scripture here. Turn over to Hebrews 4. And look at the last verse in that chapter. Actually, look at verse 15. 14. I keep going. Start at 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the where? The heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That means he had the temptations to quit and give up. But look what verse 16 says. Let us therefore come boldly. That's in faith. That means confidently. Come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may do what? Obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm going to tell you, I look every day for mercy and help. Every day. Because there's things that we face in life that we can't make happen. Things that we have to overcome. Whether it's this flesh, whether it's something we're faced with, something that we've got to exercise our faith to believe God for the strength and here for the mercy and grace to find help. Glory to God. So the Lord here is telling us, he's telling us how to come. He says, come boldly, come confidently. How? In faith. And we're not talking here about having confidence in ourselves, but confidence in and trust in God. Let me read some other translation. This is the Moffat translation. It says, so let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. When you're confident, you know, I like what 1 John 5 says, if we ask anything, this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he might hear us. Oh no, it says he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we have the petitions that we've desired of him. This is saying here, here's how you come. You come confidently and boldly, and I'll respond. Hallelujah. This is the Barclay translation. We must then fearlessly and confidently come to the throne of grace, and then we will find mercy and grace to help us in every situation when we need them. When we come confidently, what does that mean? I'm coming in faith. Yes. Expecting him to answer. And then what does that mean? That means even though I don't feel anything. I mean, there's times I don't feel. You know, Pastor Clinton used to say this when we were assisting with worship. Denise may remember this because she assisted. How many times we have to put a list of songs together, right? Every time we got up. And we put a list of songs together. He may start with them, he may not. He'd do one or two and shift. But many a time he'd say, you know what? I don't feel, I've had a long day. This is what he'd say, I've had a long day. I don't feel anointed. So I'm going to start off in the natural. And I'm going to play a couple songs and let God get in the middle of it. And that's what we've got to do. You don't feel anointed. We don't walk by our feelings. We walk by faith. And I believe God for him to do what? Strengthen me and empower me to do what you're called to do. Or faith. Hallelujah. So what do? You pray in faith. You don't feel anything. Don't matter. Because I've come to the throne of grace confidently for mercy and grace to help. And to do what? Strengthen me. If you don't, If you don't come for help, then I question, and what happens is you begin to put your trust somewhere else. The focus of your trust is somewhere else. You're looking at something else that's bigger, that's greater. And yet, the greater one has said, come to me and I'll help. Trust in me and I'll help. Amen. I don't care what we face. It could be this bad report. You're going to need strength. You're going to need guidance. You're going to need to know what to do. Whatever that is. Hallelujah. He is what? He's more than enough if we look to him. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:19, but God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Not my riches, not somebody else's riches, his riches in glory. How? By Christ Jesus. I'm going to read some scriptures and walk down. I'm just going to read them. Because sometimes in the reading of these things, the scripture, it will stir our hearts. We'll see some things, shift our attention if it's gotten off. Psalm 18, verse 2. I'm just going to read these. You can write them down. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. That's the same today. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God.
Amen.
We're going to remember him.
Amen.
Psalm 32:10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, say blessed.
Blessed
is the man that trusteth in him. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Why? Because you trust in the Lord. Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Psalm 84:12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Of course, you're familiar, Psalm 91:2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Psalm 115:11, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, he is their help and their shield. Psalm 118:8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. That's like saying put confidence in the government. Psalm 125, verse 1. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abideth forever. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Yeah, but all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy paths. Absolutely. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Hallelujah. Shall be safe. Nahum, first chapter, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. He knoweth them that trust in him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm going to read just one more thing. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Why? Because he's my shepherd. I trust in him. I look to him. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Why? He's my shepherd. I shall not want. I trust in him. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because I trust in the Lord. I trust him. I look to him. I'm strengthened by him. I'm able to cope because of him. Hallelujah. Things in this earth are not getting better. They're getting darker. But in darkness, the light shines brighter. And for us, as we continue to be led by him, we shine brighter and brighter and brighter unto the full dawning. And so I tell you, I would encourage us as we start this new year to keep your focus on him. That ought to be the first thing. He's the first thing in the morning, and he's the last thing at night. I thank you, Lord. I trust you. I trust you to reveal your will in me. I trust you to know you more intimately. I trust you to know and trust you that the eyes of my understanding are being enlightened, that I am knowing what is the hope of your calling. I am knowing more intimately the riches of the glory that's in us. And I am knowing what is the greatness of your power. Amen. That ought to be our confession. And it takes discipline. It takes something that you're going to have to do every moment of the day when you're confronted with something that rattles you or it begins to play with your mind and your thinking. You know, I saw something this week. I didn't play it today. I think I'm going to play it next week. I'll give you a little highlight. I was sharing with the elders this morning, and I was showing it, I was playing it for Pastor Greg during the week. But this man was, he's from the Bronx, as a matter of fact, raised in the Bronx, in a very dysfunctional family. And his parents were involved very deeply with Santeria, devil worship, and so forth. And very unkind, unloving home. And ultimately, I'll net it out, he turned himself over at a young age to the devil. And he got involved so deeply that he said that he was ultimately elevated to, in their terms, a high priest. He was used what we would call very intimately by the devil. And he said, as a young man, 13, 14, 15, he would leave his body at the direction of the devil through astral projection, and he would go into cities, nations, churches, and release words and curses to curse them and release what the devil wanted to release. But listen to this. He said, where there was prayer and unity, he said, as little as two, I had no access. I couldn't do anything. He said, I could not do anything. But those places where there was none, no unity, there was no prayer, he said, I had access. And I'm going to play it next week because it's insightful. We're not looking for a devil behind every tree, but what I am saying is that you look to God. Trust him. Because the devil has been stripped of his power. He has no power. He's been defeated. And if we just realize who we are in Christ, it's like Brother Hagin said when God would reveal and open his eyes into the spirit realm, and he said that little imp would fall to the ground like a little whimpering pup. They have no power. And we need to realize that as the church and wake up to who we are in Christ and also trust in him to sustain us and empower us to face the issues of life, because we can do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for empowering us with your strength and your might. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.